Hi, I'm Teresa, owner of T3 Fit, and you're listening to the T3 Fit podcast, where scoliosis warriors and professionals come together. Here we talk about our scoliosis journeys and the emotional components it takes on from being a parent to being diagnosed with scoliosis and sometimes leading to surgery. It's a place where professionals share their expertise of treatments, from physical therapy to surgery, and so much more. So let's get started. Hey, everybody, welcome to the T3 Fit Scoliosis Podcast. It's been a while. Scoliosis Awareness Month has gone by us like lightning, but we're still up and running. And today on the show, we have Dr. Laura Glazebrook. She is a pelvic health physio-scoliosis Schroth specialist. She has scoliosis. She teaches Schroth, and she's here to talk to us about scoliosis, about our pelvic floor, and how that can impact us during pregnancy. So Dr. Glazebrook, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
I'm so glad to be here. Please call me Laura.
Okay, I'll call you Laura. It's my pleasure. Okay. So you have scoliosis, correct?
I do.
Okay. Can you share with us your journey?
Certainly. I was diagnosed at 11. I actually, between diagnosis and the date of my surgery, they determined within 6 months that I needed to be fused. So I am here in Atlanta, Georgia. We have a relatively well-developed scoliosis surgery team at the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta here. Mm-hmm. And apparently the surgeon told my parents, they didn't tell me till after the fact, but he said that I was one of the quickest progressions he'd ever seen. And this was not a new doctor. This was an older doctor. So yes.
Okay.
I was fused. I have Harrington rods. I believe I'm fused about T2 to L2.
Okay.
I have a lot of trunk rotation. I became a PT back in 2012. I graduated with my doctorate. But I didn't know anything about, you know, in PT school, there's not enough time and there's not enough expertise to talk about scoliosis specifically. Mm-hmm. But luckily, I didn't get any bad advice about pregnancy or having kids because of scoliosis. So I guess that was good. But I started practicing in pelvic health in, 2017.
Okay.
And I found the Schroth method as a treatment for myself, for my own pain that I had after my second child. And then I was hooked and I went to get the training and now I teach Schroth to my patients as well.
And you said that you had pain with your second pregnancy or no?
Yes.
Okay.
So throughout, even though I have a relatively severe curve, my x-ray is really fun to look at.
I'm sorry. Would you share with us what your curve was and is?
It was 57 degrees before surgery.
Okay.
I have a single curve.
Okay.
And I actually don't have the most recent x-ray I have. I don't have it. It's not a great quality. So I haven't had a recent Cobb angle made. Okay. I know that after surgery, they got it down to about 35.
Okay. And were you in pain? That is large. I mean, I mean, I know some case, everybody varies, right? But that's still a large number.
Yes.
By standards of mild versus aggressive.
Sure.
Were you in pain during the time before being fused?
No.
Okay.
I never had pain. I've had headaches, which I've now attributed to just, muscular compensations because of my scoliosis. Mm-hmm. But I was very fit as a child, an athlete, a dancer, triathlons. I've been very active. Mm-hmm. I never had any pain until I had a little bit of pelvic girdle pain when just kind of low back pain when I had my first son.
Okay.
Um, But that went away and it was fine. And then during my second pregnancy, I was much less fit.
Okay.
And just because
it happens.
Yeah, just not a lot of time
yeah.
when you're running after a toddler.
Yeah.
And so the pain started earlier in my second pregnancy, and okay. it was more limiting in my second pregnancy.
Okay.
Luckily, I was a pelvic PT already, and I had some resources to understand, you know, some of the things that I could do to help manage that.
Mm-hmm.
I really wish I would have had the Schroff background at that point to know okay. how to best support my spine, because I feel like that would have been really helpful. But so yeah, that's my story.
Okay, so then you had your second child, and then you started. You had, as you just said, you had some pelvic experience, and then you got into doing Schroth, and it migrated doing Schroth and also focusing more on the pelvic floor.
Yes.
Which is something, you know, you and I just discussed this. It's super important because you've had patients come to you, you know, teenagers. I've had people asking me through my own journey, what's it like being pregnant? And is it safe and how it impacts our bodies. So what is, share with us, you know, the pelvic floor and having scoliosis and what that means.
Absolutely. Well, I want to start the conversation by saying, I feel like one of the biggest disservices we can offer to anyone with scoliosis is to try to make it sound like their back isn't strong or stable.
Okay.
I feel like that's a good place to start. And I know that as somebody that deals with scoliosis, and of course I have worries about what's going to happen as I get older. But I feel like it's important to start from that mindset of, you know, your body is compensating for, you know, your back is inherently strong. It's supporting you where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's an important thing to note. When we have a curve, whether it's one curve, two curves, that impacts sort of how the muscles are aligned and how they can function.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes from the top of the head all the way down to the feet, including the pelvic floor.
Mm-hmm.
So if we think about our pelvic floor as basically the bottom of our pelvis, right? Mm-hmm. Those muscles that are helping, they're part of our core. So there's a saying in pelvic PT where they say the pelvic floor is the floor of the core. And they have, right? It's catchy. I mean,
it's like
a bit on the nose, but.
Yeah, you just kind of go, yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of analogies now that talk about how the pelvic floor works with the respiratory diaphragm and how it works with our deepest core muscles. And they're all supposed to move together during lifting, during breathing. There's this whole amazing synergy of movements that have to happen in order for us to be functioning at our best.
Mm-hmm.
And when we have scoliosis, that definitely impacts the alignment of not only the muscles in our trunk, but also those muscles of our pelvic floor.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Yeah, I like to tell my patients pregnancy is sort of an amplifier to whatever movement strategies we're used to using.
Okay.
So a lot of times, those of us that have, and this goes for people with scoliosis and without scoliosis, but if you have any way that you tend to move where you're favoring one side of your body over the other, or some muscles aren't supporting you as well, so others have to take over, that's just going to be amplified when you're carrying a child, right?
Okay.
So it's almost like whatever movement strategies are carrying you just fine when mm-hmm. you're not carrying a baby, they just get amplified. And so the muscles that are doing all your work are having to work even harder.
Okay.
Right? I feel like there's a wide variety of how people can respond to pregnancy when you have scoliosis. And even whether you're fused or not, you know, the stronger your body is going into a pregnancy and the more balanced your body is, the better muscular balance you have, the smoother pregnancy that you'll have in general.
So how does that start to take place? How do people, somebody comes to you, they have scoliosis, they've been working with you for a while, and then they get pregnant. How does that shift their training, and how does the pelvic floor strengthening start?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So in my practice, I do primarily now more like scoliosis specific, like Schroff therapy. Okay. So yeah, I have a lot of people that are coming to me kind of proactively saying, hey, I have scoliosis. I'm in my, you know, late 20s, early 30s, and I'm wanting to make sure my body is really strong. Mm-hmm. So I usually start from the place of, okay, well, let's look holistically at your body and figure out how we can better balance the muscles in your body, whether that's, you know, if there's certain movements that you could be doing differently, or if there are muscles that you need to activate a bit more.
Okay.
So I usually start with just the general, how can we support your body where you are and get you really comfortable with those movement strategies and things like that. And that really doesn't change when someone gets pregnant. It's really just trying to make sure that the exercises that they do are still going to be safe. So I have a lot of patients that I will see for Schroff that, you know, when they get pregnant, there's a certain amount of time when it's not comfortable or safe anymore to really lay on your back.
Okay.
And you may need to make some adjustments to your position.
Okay.
And that's for a lot of patients that I work with, that's all they need. For some people, if there's about, I believe the most current statistic is about 60% of women or people that are pregnant will have some form of low back or pelvic pain. And that's even without scoliosis.
I was going to say, like, it's almost like you're pregnant, back pain. They go hand in hand.
Yeah, it's so fun. Yeah. I don't know. They're always doing research on it, but I do feel like it's, yeah, it looks like a lot of people will end up with some form of back pain while you're pregnant.
Okay.
Not everyone, but a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And that's with or without scoliosis. But also we know that one of the wonderful things that happens with pregnancy is we have all these hormones that are going through our bodies that are, you know, for to help us to prepare for delivery, right? Mm-hmm. So hormones that are like that relaxin and
right.
Our joints might be a little more bendy than usual.
Yeah. It's kind of like, oh, it feels kind of good.
Yeah, it can.
Yeah.
Unless you're already bendy, and then usually it feels terrible.
Yeah. Yes. Agreed.
Usually no in between. But yeah, so it just depends on where they are. For a lot of patients, if they're finding that it's harder to do the things that they were doing, like sometimes just those transition movements, like getting out of bed or, you know, getting out of a car or things, learning how to do that by using those muscles of the core, you know, either using like a big exhale when they're trying to move and do those movements that they know will be more painful. I usually will do like kinesio tape or SI belts or something to really help provide support.
Okay.
So usually it's those types of things to just make sure that they have the strategies that they need to be supported and make sure those muscles are as strong as possible, because that's going to be the best thing to keep pain down.
And so when they're exhaling, they're then contracting, which is then engaging everything. And it's not, it's not aggressive, I'm going to use the word. And it's a way in which they can still be productive and feel empowered through their bodies, of doing something that can feel natural almost.
Yeah. It's really quite cool. Our when we exhale, so our diaphragm is going back up, that deepest core layer is contracting, and so is the pelvic floor. So it's like everything is kind of supporting at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's like if you take a big deep breath and then you exhale and you kind of tighten all of that stuff, or you tighten is not a great word, but if you contract all that stuff and move in one unit or kind of break it apart into little pieces, that has made a world of difference. It made a huge difference for me with my pregnancy. And it's just sometimes just those little shifts, because at a certain point that baby's real big and it's
breathing gets harder.
It sure does.
Breathing gets harder. And you learned all of this mostly through your second pregnancy, correct?
Well, I was in pelvic health before, before my second pregnancy. Okay. I had my first pregnancy in 2017, and I actually kind of transitioned into, I got the training for pelvic health around that time.
Okay.
Because I went to a pelvic health PT and it changed my life. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. Okay. So a lot of those strategies I already had in place a bit. Mm-hmm. But then of course, when I had pain with my second one, and then I had Schroff, you know, kind of early postpartum after that, changed my life again. So now okay. I marry both approaches together.
And I mean, as far as I know, you're the only person that I've heard of that has integrated both.
I know there's a couple of people that it's on their radar.
Because it's so, I mean, we said it before, but it's like I can't emphasize how important it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because, yeah. I mean, they're two very different dynamics, but they're married to each other in a way.
Absolutely they are.
And it's not something that I'll say it's not something that an orthopedic might think about.
Of course not.
or
it really isn't.
Or even there might be some Schroff specialists out there who kind of think about it, but not so much because they're so focused on the trunk. Hope that more people continue to join these two units together, because it's a marriage in a way. It's a marriage of the body. There was one thing that you said before where, you know, when you started getting into pelvic floor health, Beth, as we both know, Beth Terranova, Strength and Spine, when she was diagnosed, and she was lifting, she said the same thing. Like she started getting into it, and then she got into Schroff, and it, you just kind of go, oh, and you discover your passion through your own body.
Absolutely.
Which is exciting, because in the scoliosis world, like we said, Google is not our friend.
Oh my goodness. No, no. It's the things that you can find on there are terrible.
Yeah.
And even in myself, some of the language, I'm trying to change my own language around, you know, my own body, and then how I even describe scoliosis to patients. Changing the words from, you know, I think recently I had, I used the typical scoliosis definition of like, it's a 3D deformity. And I thought, could I use a better word than deformity? Like it's, you know, even just the language and how you...
Yeah.
How you phrase it in your own brain can make such a difference. I'd say like a 3D condition, or, you know, it affects our body in three dimensions.
I was talking with somebody, and we were talking about the questions in which doctors ask, how much pain are you in?
I think, versus, was that Caitlin?
Yes.
I think that was Caitlin's podcast. I remember listening to that.
And she said, it was how much pain are you in versus how do you feel?
Absolutely.
And the whole, I mean, all of us, whatever profession we're in, you know, the language has to change.
Absolutely, 100%.
And it's, and we're doing it. You're doing it.
Well, we're trying, but I think it's very much with it falls in line with the culture that we're in right now, too, of that sometimes we're going to have a misstep and... Yeah. All we can do is acknowledge it and move forward.
Yeah.
I know, in my own brain. Oh, absolutely. In my own brain all the time, the negative self-talk is so quick to jump in. And, you know, you hear, especially if you go on Google and you look up scoliosis on Google and people are telling the stories on how their back is broken and they're miserable. And it's that sinks into people's brains.
Yeah. And the rods have broken.
Mm-hmm.
Or the rods are infected.
Yeah, I tell people to stay away from Google. A lot of times Facebook groups are not great for that.
It's true. It's true. How long have you had your Harrington rods?
It was December 4th, 1997. I will never forget that day. So it'll be 28 years.
And how long were you in the hospital for?
I think I was in the hospital about 6 days.
Wow.
Maybe not that long. I do know, it's so funny. I tease my parents all the time. They have every report card from when I was an infant, and they have zero surgical records or x-rays from my surgery. So I had to go through PT school, and I had professors and, you know, fellow PT students that would ask me where I was fused, and I'd have to say, I have no idea. So I got an x-ray before my Shrop course, the mm-hmm. first one, and they, that's when I thought, oh, okay, so it's about like T2-ish to L2-ish. But I had no idea.
Yeah.
I just knew that I couldn't move my thoracic spine. That's all I had.
And sometimes that's enough.
Yeah.
Sometimes
for sure.
That's enough.
And ultimately, right. Does it matter? Does it actually make a difference? Does it make any difference in how you live your life? No.
Nope. Is there anything else that you would like to share with us that we haven't targeted or focused on?
I'm just so glad that you're starting this conversation, because I feel like it is an area, it's sort of like a black hole. I mean, Shrop is new, you know, scoliosis awareness is still building in this country. You know, the Shrop approach has really only been here for 20 years, if even. Yeah.
And which is insane.
Pelvic health. Yeah. It drives me crazy. But either way, I feel like it's just important to know, you know, the stronger your body is before a pregnancy, you know, the more balanced you can be, the more you've kind of prepared your body for it, the better it will feel. But also, if you are pregnant, you are having, or you're planning on being pregnant, and you end up having some discomfort or pain, or you're wanting to prepare for it, there are professionals that can help with that. Whether that's a pelvic health therapist, there are occupational therapists and physical therapists that can do that. Shrop therapists, there's the BSPTS has a great link of, if you can find a Shrop provider in your area, that's a wonderful thing.
Okay.
And also, so yeah, in the meantime, you will keep doing your wonderful work and I will keep doing my work, and we're just going to hope that it makes its way.
Yeah, we're just through these. We just keep sharing what we know.
As far as navigating the world as somebody with scoliosis and a spinal fusion and fitness with that and carrying children.
To Laura, I would like to thank you for being a guest on the T3 Fit Scoliosis podcast. I'm going to let you take this on. If anybody would like to reach you and has any questions about working with you or just reaching out, where is the best place that they can find you?
So I try to do a lot of my education on Instagram. It's the only social media platform I really use at this point. You can find me at laura.g, as in Glazebrook, .dpt. Also, I'm happy to answer any emails. That's the same handle, laura.g.dpt@gmail.com. And I am happy to have this conversation with anyone that has questions.
Well, Dr. Laura, I'd like to thank you for being a guest on the show.
It was my pleasure to be here. Thank you so much.
If you like this episode, chances are there's someone else out there who needs to hear it too. So it would be a huge favor to me if you'd go ahead and give us a 5-star review. It helps me get the message out to more people. And if you need help moving in pain, then download my 5 free tips, and I'll catch you on the next episode.